Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome to A Team of Voices. I'm your host, Crystal Hope, and Merry Christmas, because I got 10 days until Christmas. But yeah, tonight's show, I had an idea after watching a little bit of some Nutcracker stuff. I know a lot of people talk about the magic of Christmas, but sometimes if you, I don't know, if you look back at some of old movies or pictures, paintings, all sorts of things, you'll see the magic in it all. And I just decided to go crazy on Google and find a bunch of pictures for the magic of Christmas. And also, if anybody else wanted to, I had a word bank as well, picking 12 of the 30 words that I found. But yeah, it definitely was fun to do and everything. Looks like I'm the only person here. Okay. All right, well, I guess what I'll do is I will say what the words are, the 30 that people can choose. I have the word sugar plum and chestnut, Noel, starlight, nutcracker, sleigh, angel, fairy, manger, stringing, evergreen, gold, silver, winter, jingle, silent, merry, dove, knitted, scarf, sweater, chocolate, tinsel, snowflake, velvet, walnut, and reindeer. Which, to me, a lot of those words just scream Christmas. We often know that Christmas board bank that they normally you would hear certain words, but yeah. I really do love a lot of these pictures that I found as well. They're beautiful. But yeah, I don't know where anybody is. Maybe I'll start playing Elvis and it's a blue Christmas because no one's here. Yeah. But yeah, and if anyone wants to know out there, all of our poetry is through a site called allpoetry.com, a part of the group, A Team of Voices. We do pretty much podcasts every single day. I do one once a month, typically on a Wednesday, not always, but I'd say about 95% of the time it's on a Wednesday. But yeah, that's just who we are, and we have a lot of great shows every single day. And yeah. I'm not used to it just being me. Well, let me see if there's maybe some Christmas music we can play while we are waiting. I'm not sure what all is in the studio. I haven't ever quite paid attention. Let's see what we can play. Let's see what we've got. Oh, I see. I think this is from our host, Deb. I think I might play this while we're waiting for some people to call in. See what this is.
Hey, everybody. It's me, Deborah Lee. I'd like to wish everyone listening a very, very Merry Christmas from me to you and yours. And I'd also like to read for you today. And the piece I chose is actually a snippet from the Charlie Brown Christmas movie. And in the movie, the kids are trying to figure out what Christmas is all about. And Linus decides to enlighten them. And I figured if it was good for Charlie Brown and the Peanuts, it's good for us all. So I'd like to share a reading from the book of Luke, chapter 2, verses 8 to 14, as Linus did in the movie. So here we go. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown. Happy holiday, everyone. Merry Christmas. Happy birthday, Jesus.
Well, speaking of Deb, I now have her on the line.
Wow, that was weird to dial in myself.
Well, I was, like, just kept talking and talking and talking, and then I was like, I don't need dead air. I don't need dead air. And then I was like, you know what? I'm like, I'm going to see what Christmas stuff we have in the, the hatter pretty much, and was like pushing buttons. Because I was, and then I saw that, and I love the Charlie Brown Christmas, and I was like, and I wanted to hear it. Because I've heard the other one I found in here, which I heard you read before, the Grinch, How the Grinch Stole Christmas. But I've never, I don't think I've heard you do the Charlie Brown one before. So I wanted to click it.
Cool. Well, I was sitting there trying to finish my poem, which I'm almost done. And then I looked up, and it was like, oh, no. So I figured, let me go keep you company and try to wrap it up in between.
Yeah. And that, this is not the first time I think about their, like, I had to wait, like, probably more than 10 minutes for someone to call. But, like, I also figured that since it is, like, 10 days to Christmas, people are, you know, they're getting more busy, like, with family or last-minute shopping or something like that. Like, there's a lot going on. So I figured
you're absolutely right. It's a cram in as much as you can before Christmas Day kind of time, and it's shown in all the shows. Happens every year. But, like, right now, you can't help but think about the tragedy down around Wayne in Kentucky, you know? And I hear that there's more wild winds and stuff going on somewhere down there right now. It's never ending with the weather anymore. And to have such devastation anytime is tragic, but after so much with COVID and so close to Christmas, and to just get slammed like that. I'm happy that Wayne came out of it okay, but he's blocks from where it happened. Pretty scary stuff. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was reading and seeing all that stuff as well. I have no idea, but I've also kind of just, I never really pay attention to the news or the weather, even for my, where I live, I don't pay attention to any of that stuff. So typically if I go on All Poetry, and I do try to pay attention somewhat what's going on in the other states or other countries. But yeah, but I was reading that earlier. I think it was Jay that was talking about it or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
I've got a few different people.
Yeah. Jay actually has a couple different topic boards up in his room, calling for, you know, telling people that they need, the people in Kentucky need help. And I think he has something else going for toys for some children in Florida for Christmas. So it's, you know, it's around. People are talking about it.
Yeah. And it's a good thing people want to help as well.
It just seems like everything is in such an unrest. And we've been, on this whirlwind for, February's about to hit, and I believe that's like a two-year mark. Who would have thought when we first started hearing about the climate change stuff that everything was going to happen all at the same time, along with a 100-year bug and everything else under the sun. And
yeah.
And it seems like the younger you are, the less you pay attention to, like you said, the news and the stuff that goes on around you. And then I would call it super nosiness clicks in with age, and you start to need to know everything.
I would say that too, because I've often where if someone has asked me something about like either my mother, my grandmother, or something like that, or just people around me, and they'll be like, "What? Why do they want to know?" And I'm like, "They're nosy." I was like, it
"Exactly." I admit it.
I can't say anything. I am a little bit nosy, but I'd say that I think people that are older than me are 100% worse. But I would say not.
Well, I don't know if I want to label myself some old person, but I'm teasing. me and a cat got that curiosity in common, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah. But the thing is, I also think that's a good thing.
I'm also thinking, you know how they say that as we age, in many cases, the brain declines some. So if you think about the brain declining, and as picturing a sponge, and then you just put your nosy self into trying to find out and learn and seek information on everything to fill in those gaps of the sponge so it doesn't dry rot.
I mean, that is true, because I'm pretty sure, like what you were just saying about the brain declining, that when, even if it's declining, you're also thinking back your head like, oh, my brain's declining, I need more and more information, because you want to keep like your brain young, and I'm pretty sure that's probably what you're thinking. I don't know. But I
use
know,
it
like,
or lose it, baby.
Pretty much. I know that I, even though I'm still fairly young, there's sometimes where I don't remember something and it drives me absolutely bonkers, because I think I'm thinking like if like stuff that I learned from high school is slowly declining, and I'm like, I used to remember this stuff, why don't I anymore? I said, this isn't fair. But and then I just try and reprise myself again, like, okay, well, you don't remember it, just go back and read a book or read something about it. And that don't always help, though, but because eventually I'll just forget it again. But it, I think it is good to keep knowledge in your brain, though. And the whole thing about being curious, no matter what you're curious about, at least you're trying to think and, like I was saying before, keep yourself young.
For sure.
Yeah.
That's like I think part of the reason that I like Jeopardy so much is so that it's when I can't answer the questions anymore, I start worrying about it. So it's like another way to keep your brain from dry rotting. And I think poetry is too, because creativity sparks and good exercise, I think.
Yeah. I always, like, and I know that y'all have told me this before, too, about being, like, an old soul type thing, because I am a person and that likes to do a lot of word searches or crosswords, things like that. Those things I like to do. But you would not see anybody my age or younger or anywhere in that age. Like, you don't see people do that. You don't see people play crossword or word search or something, but I enjoy them, and I'm good at them too. But so, like, there's some days where if I just want to relax, I will grab a word search or a crossword or something like that and do one. Like, sometimes I do them before I go to bed or something. Like, it often just kind of relaxes your mind or so. So I think that's another thing too, about keeping the brain challenged. But I don't know.
No, I think that having to be analytical or just fine-tuning your senses by looking for the words within words, I like those too,
yeah.
Because then sometimes you look at it and you're like, well, duh, how did it take me so long to see that word? But yeah, I like puzzles and crosswords and word searches and those Mad Libs. Sometimes you crack yourself up, you know, you sit down and name a few verbs.
Mad Libs.
And yeah, those are so fun. I tried them for a while when we first started.
I remember. Team
Voices,
I remember you doing them.
Yeah, but it was, and they were fun. I mean, don't get me wrong, it was fun, and getting to hear everybody laughing and giggling at the stupid way they come out when you put these words in is amazing. But it's that sort of dead air space in between when you're trying to fill in all the answers real quick so that you can get somebody to read that's awkward. So. I never thought of a way to fine-tune that. Well, I actually am working on it, so I guess we'll see.
I was going to say, I mean, I know that the dead air isn't necessarily a good thing, but the thing is those things are fun, and I think people will want to listen to it because when the part of, like, trying to, you know, get all the words together, like your verbs, nouns, everything like that, but you're keeping people in a suspense because they're going to want to hear this weird story, pretty much. So people are going to want to listen to it. But I do know what you mean, though, by the dead air. That or when we did the song lyrics or whatever, which I used to be incredibly horrible at. But how bad you would hear the keyboards in the background typing really fast, and then it wouldn't
trying
even
to guess
come
the
out
answer
to what
first
you wanted.
And so, yeah, no, that's another one that's really fun, but the problem is we have to have a readily available singer who won't make the listener's ears bleed to have a good time playing, you know?
I know I volunteered a long time ago, but a lot of the times I didn't know the song. I didn't know the tune of the song. That's not always a bad thing,
because sometimes it's that melody that gives it away where, I was actually thinking about changing it up a little to where you just sort of dramatically read the words or something. Like, just for example, row, row, row your boat gently down the stream.
Oh, yeah.
And then there's no need to sing and there's no need to try and keep the beat or the rhythm. It's just to get those words out there. And, you know, I think that might be cool. I don't know. Figure something out because it's fun. Yeah, we need a few of the fun ones back.
Yeah, even I know I cut back on some of mine because I thought about doing like what I've done before. Usually on Christmas I've done like a Secret Santa, or I've done the page numbers where I find a random poem, or the one that I really love is that Guess That Poet, which I know everybody likes those, but I haven't done those games in a while, typically because they can take some time and
tough work. Yeah.
I'm like trying to get to people as fast as possible, and I didn't always have a lot of time to do that, so that's why I kind of have cut back. Like the page numbers one takes a little more time, but the Guess the Poet takes a lot of time because then you have to go back through different people's poems about whatever the topic is, and then you have to have people that you don't know if they want you to use their poem or not in the group, and then and it goes. But yeah, but I definitely want to do them again, but a lot of those are fun, and I have enjoyed a lot of the things like that. We just hadn't done them in a while.
I think I was actually just mentioning to Sweet about your Secret Santa, write a poem to somebody or to their poem or whatever, because the year you did that, I had Phil the Poet.
Oh, yeah, I remember it. Or did you have Phil the Poet, or did Hatter have Phil the Poet?
I did, and you know what's funny? It was like it was months later, and I realized, I think somebody else stumbled across it and commented, and when they did, I realized there was no comment from Phil, and I thought, that has to mean he never saw it, because there's no way he would have just, you know, looked at it and blew it off, so I sent it to him, and he had never... He didn't know that I had done it. Anyway, it was a really cool idea, and I was, like, kind of bummed that he hadn't realized at the time.
Yeah.
But we were just Yeah, I was just saying how cool it was.
I don't know why I had a why I thought that Hatter had, but I think I remember who Hatter had. I think he had Joseph Moon, I think, or I'm not sure. I remember some of the people who had who, but I can't remember everybody. But yeah, I did enjoy doing that. The thing is, I remember that year that I did it, I actually had a Santa hat, and I was putting names in the Santa hat. Like a year or two later, my Santa hat went missing. So I couldn't even do it if I wanted to. I have no, well, I just bought this year, actually. I bought another Santa hat because I kept telling myself I was going to buy one. But typically Christmas comes around, I want to dress up for Christmas, and then I'll just not do it. I'll just sit there and, like, wear a red shirt and be like, this is good enough. But I haven't bought a hat or nothing. So, which maybe the hat went missing when I did Secret Santa. I don't know. But, yeah. I was just thinking, it's already been like 30 minutes in and we have not said one poem. I know I don't have too many, though. I was just saying if anybody else was going to call. I know Stephen and Kay, I know they can't because they got a show in an hour, or actually less than an hour now. But I was going to ask you a question, though. Do we have permission for Lockdown Larks? I don't know if I can read his poem or not.
Yes, we do.
We do? Okay. He said something about it, but I wanted to make sure. Okay, so we can read his. All right, then. I think what I'm going to go ahead and do then is put down Kay's. There's this, the first one I see. Oh, Hatter says he has a hat. Okay, thank you. Thank you, Hatter. I kind of figured you did.
And we got big time now, but our in the meeting room, the email permission list is alphabetized so that you guys can access it in 2 seconds and see if the person you're looking for is there. Just for when I'm not
okay.
Handy to ask.
I didn't necessarily find it before because I know, I haven't looked in a while, but two, the last time I looked, I was just scrambled all over the place, and then I was trying to find a certain person, and I knew they were new, and then I didn't know, so that's why I asked this time around.
Yeah, I was getting the same way. I was really frustrated because, you know, you have to read the whole list to find a name, and I'm like, there's got to be, you know, better, and then I found this program. You shoot them any kind of list, and they'll instantly alphabetize it. They'll even number it alphabetized if you push that button, so I alphabetized the studio and by artist mostly, and I alphabetized the permission list, and we're getting big time.
Yeah, I noticed the studio. That one I noticed, and I was looking down, and I was like, everything. But you already had it kind of in alphabetical order, but then it kind of moved around.
Well, yeah,
but
it was sort of alphabetical by person, and then some of us would put the name of the song and then the artists, and some of us would, so I tried to put all the artist names first, that way they would start bulking up together, and then we wound up with like a Beatles collection, an Elvis collection, and a Motown collection, rather than,
I saw all that, it was like,
yeah.
Oh, wow.
And before that, there was like 3 in this person's name, and 2 in that person's name, and 7,000 in my name, so now they're just there, and it's a Team of Voices list, rather than a person's. And then there's a few things that, you know, are personal to people, and I put those in under their names, too. So it's all good. And I don't know, are you listening, Hatter? We don't need the hat. We need you to pick up the phone and hang out with us.
I know, he just says, I got hat. I guess he's listening. I know, he needs to pick up the phone. All right, well, I just put down K's, and I was looking for a SoundCloud, and I found it. So I think I'm going to go ahead and
Reflecting glass acceptances. Okay. Clang goes a china. The hutch is spruced in tiers. Points that has traced in guilds. Curves and knotted braids they carefully touch. Mindful of break-in. Stand in line. Children dance. Skipping without a loo. Does a slip of the roof bind the claws? Scrolled in ink. Set in stone. Let the transformation begin. Twinkling in lights as snow frosts upon roofs. Glittering in powders of white, the swirls of peppermint tropes, phantasms and surmises. Hot chocolate pines, advents. Marshmallows, the illusion, and stardust voices. Symbol and semblance, so as not to grumble the truth, are the changelings. Trickle-down effect of truly being in charge. Donned in velveteen red, trimmed in white featherings. Fluffy as clouds and cotton candy, a beard to tug in its curly bristling coursework, cheeks rosy and blushing, cookies, candy, carols in the air, prep landing for chimney titans and trestled steps, stockings, tinsel the mantle in glee, don't forget the gingerbread houses at Safe House and Gumdrops, as a clause is in effect, locketed in ink, in the heart. Merry Christmas, and poem.
Oh, wow. I was trying to write for a comment, but I feel like the comment is just literally stealing lines like you do now, because there was a lot of them I liked in here. One I like the title, just for starting, is Reflecting Glass Acceptance. That is, I don't know what that is about that, but I liked how that sounded. I'd say my favorite part of all this, though, is the hot chocolate pines, advents, marshmallows, the illusion, and stardust folks. Like, I love that hot chocolate pines. Like, I have used, like, chocolate for a wood color before, but I like that hot chocolate pines. And then adding the marshmallows in there along with it. But that, and when trimmed in white feathering, fluffy as clouds, and cotton candy. And then just the cookies, candy, and caroling in the air. To me, this does bring a lot of feeling and stuff like that of the way that Christmas really should feel and have that cheer in your heart type thing. And I know sometimes it's hard for people around the holidays to get into the spirit. I know for me, there's some years where it just doesn't feel like Christmas at all. I'd say this year, it's kind of been that way. It hasn't really felt like Christmas, and I've been trying to get into the spirit, but I don't know. I've had a lot of ups and downs, so it's kind of hard. But yeah, I really like what she did with this. So I feel like she used the word bank like really well. I mean, I know she messaged me and said that she had a poem with like a lot of the word bank words, and I said I figured a lot of people have some very Christmas word bank type poems, and she definitely came through with this one. So I really enjoyed it. Deb, you want to comment?
Yeah, sure. I actually have this one on one of my favorites lists. I thought that there was such there were so many gorgeous descriptions. It was like she painted a picture, but then she added in the feel and the love and the tenderness that goes with the holiday, and fun little things like you said about the hot chocolate. But I don't know, stuff like let the transformation begin, twinkling in lights as snow frosts upon roofs. And there is something enchanting, and the lights are blinking, and the glitter bounces off the snow, and you can just picture it. And I like the swirls of peppermint tropes. There's something beautiful about the thought of peppermint tropes. But where was that? Trimmed in white featherings, fluffy as clouds and cotton candy. So the descriptions are just totally off the charts here, and they just I keep saying the word, but it's because it's true, that she just totally enchanted the view, the feel, the words. It was a total package, so I call that a must-save.
I will agree with that, too. The whole, her poem is very enchanting. I know when I was looking for pictures to use, and most of the time I was putting, like, magical Christmas pictures or something like that. Like, I was just writing that in. Well, then I was like, what's another word for magical? And I was like, how about enchanted? So then when I put enchanted Christmas pictures, all of it was Beauty and the Beast. I don't know why that was what they thought, I guess, enchanted. Everybody thinks of Beauty and the Beast. I don't know, but I thought that was really strange. And then when you're using the word, it popped in my head again. But, yeah, I would say that Kay's poem is very much like a enchanted kind of poem. And thank you, Kay, for bringing that. It worked perfectly with the word bank. And who did I have? Oh, yeah, then I was going to do a month ago, knock on some people's doors, see where everybody's at. Because at least Hatter's telling me what's going on, that he's medicated, but where's everybody else at? I know
where
Wayne
are
has
you?
An excuse,
she wants
too,
know
but
now.
These people don't have an excuse. All right. Let's see there. There we go.
Just a Few Christmas Memories by Stephen 76. In sugar plum dreams of days long past, of evergreen pine fields deep and vast, brought into home of young and old, shimmered with tinsel of silver and gold, into warm kitchens of kith and kin, arrowhead flowered counter and rolling pin, chocolate dollops unwrapped from foil, resting on peanut butter dough and toil. Outside the window is winter night, gaze at the moon and twinkling starlight, watching the snowflake breezy ballet, hoping to hear jingle or see reindeer and sleigh. End poem.
That was not what I expected from Stephen, but I do know he has talked about memories and things before, but this definitely is a Christmas poem to me. But, I mean, I should know there is, I'd say, in the middle, definitely sounds like Stephen, because he's sitting there bringing up about chocolate and peanut butter. That sounds fantastic right now. I now want to eat Reese's or something. But chocolate dollops unwrapped from foil, resting on peanut butter dough and toil. But I love the part above it, though, where he says the arrowhead flowered countered in the rolling pin, because that does, even though I particularly don't like baking myself, my grandmother on my dad's side was a baker, and my grandmother and my mom, like her mom, they love to bake. Like every year my mom makes cookies, pies, whole nine yards, and most of the time she bakes and I clean. But I will say that it is definitely a memory that's going to be ingrained in my head, of cleaning the counter when it's covered in flour or something, or cleaning the sticky dough off of the stove or something, and cleaning some oiled up cookie pans or something in the sink. Even if those are some weird kind of memories, they are a type of memory, because often people think of baking when they think of Christmas, and as you grow older, those are the stuff you're going to remember, is all the little cleaning you had to do, the taste of the cookies, the making of the flour on the cabinet, all of it. But yeah, I really enjoyed this, though. I especially like his rhyme and everything, especially like bringing the twinkling starlight and stuff, and then you can just hear the jingle of Santa's sleigh and the reindeer. So yeah, I think he did a great job here. And I did like that picture that I found and stuff, because it gave off like a more nostalgic kind of vibe, I think. But what did you think, Deb?
I agree. The is it sentimental, nostalgic? I guess it's more of like a blend of all the above. The title, Just a Few Christmas Memories, sets the tone for sure. There's, where is it? Into Warm Kitchens of Kith and Kin, Arrowhead Floor, Flowered Counter and Rolling Pin, Chocolate Dollops Unwrapped from Foil, Rusting in Peanut Butter Dough on Toil. And I mean, I could literally picture my mom putting the Hershey Kisses on the top and smushing the peanut butter dough. It was one of the ones that we made before Christmas, her, me, and my sisters singing that corny bacon cookie song. So it put that kind of memory in my mind. And it's just three little stanzas, but it's three little stanzas filled with those nostalgic memories that he mentioned in the title. So he did a great job. And this is another 10. If you look over to the right there where his lists are, he put, I got 10s in question marks. And not that long ago, I had said to him, well, Stephen, you're approaching 200. That's so cool. Now, look, he's broke 250. So he's just belting them out left and right. And in brevity, I mean, wow, excellent share.
I just love looking at that. I most of the time do look at what lists and stuff the poems are in, but yeah, I should have a list called that. I got tens, because I know when I get like tens or even nine something, I'm like, wait, what? Because a lot of the time, if I really want to write a 10, normally I know what words to use, but I'm often just going to let whatever I want or need to say come out, even if it's so much as a weak word or whatever. It doesn't bother me. But I do love it, though, when there's something about that feeling. And maybe it's just you get it off of all poetry. I'm not sure, but when you're writing a poem, not paying attention to what words you're using, but like it's just flowing. You hit submit poem, you look at it on auto rank, and it ranks a 10, and you're like that's like the best feeling. And even though I don't really like auto rank that much, when I do get a high 10 poem and I didn't even plan it, I love that, because it's like you're just writing from the heart, and then it actually came out where it's not telling you have a 2.4 or something like that. But yeah, I think that's awesome that that did happen. But I can see why it looks like a 10, because it's very descriptive, especially like the part about the baking. But yeah, that's pretty cool. Where was I at? I'm now all over the map. Okay. Well, it might look like we might be wrapping up kind of early. I'll try to at least make it to 10:30, because I still have my poem, of course, yours, Deb, and then I have one from Frank and then one from Walk Down Larks. So it's like four poems, and I'm at least make it to. I'm probably not going to read Frank's for a little while because he might call. I'm not sure. I don't know. Sometimes he calls. He did leave me a SoundCloud, but sometimes he does call. Let's see what I might do. I think I'm going to read for Lockdown Larks, because I'm excited to read his, because I don't think I've read anything of his. So, oh, as soon as I say Frank, he says he's listening. Okay.
Hi, Frank.
Apparently, I say something and he appears. Yeah, hi out there in faraway land.
Hola.
All right. Oh, wait. Where was I? There we go. Apparently, he's only speaking in one word at a time. Because he said hola. Then he said hola again.
Yeah,
then
I
he
just,
said hola.
I think he was responding.
Dead.
I had just said it.
All right, and I guess I'll read for lockdown works, called Save Us, Santa. And here we go. I'm writing to you, Santa, not asking for this and that. I'm writing to you, Santa, to help us save our habitat. Dear Santa, you know I always write, but this year is a different test. Daddy says the earth's not right, so can you help with my request? He said there's much that destroys, so I pray before I go to bed. Then instead of sending toys, you could save the world instead. My list to you, I had to change. I do hope you can rearrange. I want nothing from Legoland except hunger to be banned. I did want the Beano board game. Happy if you put it out war's flame. No Dreamtopia mermaid Barbies if you can stop deforesting trees. I quite like trivia pursuing, but can you stop them polluting? So I'm writing to you, Santa, not asking for this or that. I'm writing to you, Santa, to help us save our habitat. And boom. I feel like I just got a little emotional. I will say that a lot of the times when you see kids out there who, like, you'll see it in movies all the time about they'll ask for the strangest things from Santa instead of asking for Barbies or Legos or cars or that special video game or whatever, or a teddy bear or something, asking for material things, that they're asking for something way deeper. And I like that he brings that up, though, in this poem about a child asking for the world to be different and to help with, like, pollution and world hunger and all these things that a lot of the time you don't hear children bring up. I feel like this is something that I would see maybe like a child write or something, but I would actually love to see a child write something like this to Santa Claus, which I bet there have been several thousand children that's done over the years. But I really like what he said, though. It's like a very sentimental kind of poem, and one I think that a lot of kids actually do need to hear more, because that's the whole thing I think people need to teach their kids about, is wanting things that are more important than wanting material things, about wanting the world to be different and often praying for the world to be different and wanting to have, like, more happiness and more kindness in the world. Yeah, I really enjoyed this from him, and I enjoyed the rhyme as well. Sorry, I just keep talking. I think I'm scared of the silence. Go ahead with your comment.
Don't go silent. Talking's a good thing. You're on a talk radio show. No silence for you.
Okay. So I need some silence now because I need you to make a comment.
I would love to. I too got a little pulled into this one with his wishes there. You know, around here we call that, you know, getting up on his soapbox and presenting us with some soapbox poetry. And here, I would like to check some of these things off of my list too. You know, I don't need another sweater or slippers, but it sure would be nice to see some people inspired to maybe plant a tree or two, or pick up trash after themselves, or you know, all the little things that if we all collectively do would make a bigger difference. My list to you, I had to change. I do hope you can rearrange. I want nothing from Legoland, but instead, can hunger be banned? Hear, hear. I mean, come on. But instead, I think that's my favorite part. I want nothing from Legoland, but instead, can hunger be banned? I wish. It's like, you know, it's a necessity, and being hungry physically hurts. It's, you're not just, you know, oh, I need some food. It physically hurts. And to think of how many children are in the world who go to bed at night and hope that there's school in the morning so they could at least get something to eat while they're at school. It's just, so, like, that part was really powerful. But the whole poem is impressive, and I think I'm going to save this one. I think this is my favorite from him so far.
Yeah, I like that part you brought up, though, about children when they go to school hoping that they'll get something to eat. I know I like hear it all the time of people saying, oh, school lunches are disgusting, which I think that it should be changed. But or I'd say a majority of schools have pretty bad lunches. But to think that a lot of kids grow up in poverty and they don't have the option of picking what they want to eat. I've often, since I've worked with kids a lot, I've actually have told them that before, like, because I've seen a lot of picky eaters, and I'll look right at them and be like, there are kids out there that don't get to pick their food. They're happy if they can get a few beans on their plate or something, or some rice. You never know. So I like that you brought that up, because I know a lot of kids probably do go to school and they're like, oh, look, they got cereal for breakfast. I can get cereal. And then, oh, look, they're happy to get some bread for lunch or something. So you never know. But I do think it is something that parents need to be teaching more kids about, that they need to be asking for better things in the world. But, yeah, I really agree with you on that, though. And that I'm saying is that this poem of his is really good. Like I said, I haven't read anything from him, at least that I know of, so thank you, Lockdown Larks, for bringing this.
Oh, he's new to writing poetry, new to all poetry, new to A Team of Voices, and he just sponsored the trio of mystery prompt contests that are waiting for judgment for A Team of Voices group members. So he just dove right in, and I'm thrilled that he's participating and appreciated that donation of points for the contest and the fact that he's judging them with me. So I'm glad he joined us.
Yeah, I always get excited when I see new people in the group. I always kind of used to think I was one of those new people, and then I've come to realize that I am not, that I am way far past now. But just like I think it was about a week ago, it was my 7th year anniversary on All Poetry. Every time told people that, they're like, wow. I was like, yeah, I said I've been on here. But, like, even though I've been on here for 7 years, I'd say I've probably been only on here about 5. Because for, like, 2 years, I didn't really. Wait, why does Hatter say he's being replaced? Replaced by what?
You've been replaced? Give me a break. There's no replacing the one and only Jay Hatter, writer of The Words You Cannot Say. What the hell?
I know, right? That one where, oh, man, I can't think of the name of the poem, but story about the man that he had to stay the night with in the hospital. That one, I can't remember the name of it, but I,
yeah.
Oh, God, every time I hear that story, I cry.
Yeah.
I can't.
What's the name? I know what you mean. He brings it out around this time
about.
Of year, too. Well, he'll be digging in the vault in 5 minutes. Watch.
Let me let Frank in here before I, you know, let him wait outside in the cold. even though Frank, if you live anywhere near I do, it's not cold right now.
No, I just came out of the shower, so I doubt it.
No, because where I'm living right now, it's It's constantly going from 79 degrees to 50 degrees every single day. One day it'll be like in the 40s, and the next day it'll be in the 70s. And it,
here too. At night there's frost everywhere, and during the day it's unseasonably warm. The weather's not.
Oh yeah, the weather has lost mind. All right. Well, Frank, we just finished reading Locked On Lark's poem, and let's see. Oh, Hatter said the name of the poem is called Left Alone. Okay. That sounds familiar now, I think. I just mainly remember the story. All right. See. I think what I'm going to do now then is, oh, Deb, you got yours now? Okay, then, Deb, I will do yours, and then, Frank, I will play your SoundCloud, because I've had Deb on here a while.
Hello, everyone. Right, I don't know if it's on. Is it you and Deb, right?
That's it.
I'm Deb, you make that. Yeah.
Yes,
right.
I'm here, too.
Yeah, I was hearing both of you. You're doing a fantastic job.
I was going to say, it's just been us for quite a while, because I say for the first 15 minutes I was here by myself, and then Deb came, and then we just chatted for a while.
It's been a fun conversation.
It's the hour thing for me. It's a little bit early, too early for me at 8, my time. When I saw that you were starting at 8, I knew I was going to be able to make it, but I try to make it afterwards, and I always try to support the best I can.
Yeah, I get that time thing too, because mine is 8 as well, so typically I don't mind doing a show that early, but I would say like I have gone later, but I say that it was good to do earlier shows for a while because I was getting up early in the morning, but that changed, and I don't know. But, yeah.
I hope you're doing it. I hope the best for you doing it, babe.
You too, Frank.
What was that?
I said I hope the both of you are doing okay.
I'm hanging in there. That's my answer. But thank you, Frank. All right. I put down Deb. That's what I did. So, Deb, whenever you're ready to read.
Okay, Dahl. Well, I used 18 of your words. And the poem is called Children Smile at People Passing. And here we go. Window shop sweaters in a glitter hue. The knitted scarf mart is packed tonight. Scoring the dove gray striped is a coup. Now checkout line is squeezed tight. Treasure shopping for him and for you. Grabbed chocolate, but I ate every bite. Picked up nutcrackers in boxes of two. Bags of chestnut and a velvet Sprite. 6 half-pound tubs of sugar plums, too. Snowflakes dust sidewalks in icy white. Reindeer line up by a sleigh tinted blue as the icy air brushes noses with a bite. At the courtyard, the fir trees in the view with neon light blinking gold and bright, shades of red, blue, and goldenrod, too, dot the tree branches in sparkling light. Corner streetlights switch green on cue, hitting tinsel, tossing a metallic highlight. Then the manger display grows soft to crew, and silver bells ring, announcing twilight. And poem.
Love how this sounded. And I did love that Christmas tree as well. When I found that picture, I was like, oh, that is just gorgeous of how, because the light is just kind of what, when you look at it, you look at the lights in the tree, but then the lights in the back. And I like that you bring that up a lot in the poem. Pretty much of the blinking, the neon light and the gold and the reds and the blues, and you're bringing out all the colors, which I know you normally do, but just kind of, I feel like I am just downtown, and you just see this tree out in like a park or something. But you're also just, it's kind of like frosty outside, and it's like a, you got a, this big moon outside, and then you kind of, it's like you came back from the store or something, you're walking out. But I don't know, that's just kind of what came to my head. But I love that, treasure shopping for him and for you, grab chocolate, but I ate every bite. Same. That happens so many, I think a lot of people do that. Like, if you buy chocolate for baking, and then you end up eating it because you don't bake for a few weeks, and then you're in the mood to eat chocolate, and then you eat it, and then the only thing is, then there's baking chocolate, which is, that's very bitter, and I wouldn't suggest eating that. But I like the, I've never heard of the Velvet Sprite. That one, I that was one of those lines I like never thought of, but I like that you put it in that way. But yeah, I like the colors, I like the atmosphere.
And the body is made out of velvet.
Yeah, that is true. I like that you, the atmosphere that you brought here and stuff like that. Like, it has that very much, kind of like what Kay's had, the very much a Christmas spirit kind of feeling. But awesome job, Deb. And let me get Frank to give you a comment.
Thank you, Crystal.
Yeah, yes. I have to say that this, what I noticed, which I don't see too much from you there, up there, but I always appreciate your creativity. And this poem here has a special attachment there. I would say not only for myself, but for most of us here who either have children or have been children at one point in our lives. Definitely can relate to all this imagery here that you bring up in this poem here. I really like the notion there of the window shop sweaters in a glitter hue. You give us the visual, you know, imagery from the beginning there, and you make everything so simplistic there because you offer us, you know, the enticement there of reading, of wanting to read more. You give us the chocolates there, the nutcrackers, the chestnuts, the sugar plums. I mean, I can go on and go on. You just build your, it's like you build your own scenery. You create your own scenery of this poem here, and you, everything that you're talking about here, it's like your own creation there. You're giving it, you know, through your imagery, you're giving us a view of what all this could be and what all this is. So I really was flashed in my mind, you know, memories, I would say, of a bit of my childhood as well, or memory of days of traveling to places where I've seen, you know, this going on to a certain extent. And it does remind me much about how beautiful, you know, these type of seasons are. You know, if you get beyond the commercial, you know, the commercial things or the traditions, but more importantly, the human aspect of Christmas, of just appreciating each other, you know, finding some, you know, humbleness within us. And I think this is a poem that really speaks to the heart of a child as well, but also speaks to the heart of an adult. And I really liked the direction you took in this poem. It was a very, very good, great poem. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you very much, Frank. Awesome comment.
You're welcome.
I like you brought that up, Frank, about, I don't know, children-type atmosphere. But I would say at the same time, though, I think Christmas is a time where it's okay to act a little bit. Not saying, like, acting childish, but to just kind of lay back. And I know a lot of people, they get very stressed around Christmas. And I think that as adults, that happens more than we'd say. But it is supposed to be a time where you're just going to, supposed to just enjoy everything, and even if something seems childish, like sitting on a couch drinking hot chocolate and eating a candy cane, you're eating all that sugar, which probably isn't good for your body, but you're supposed to be enjoying it. So.
Oh, but it's only one time during the year there, so, you know, think about it, it's only one time. I think I could cheat a bit there.
Yeah. But thank you, Deb, for writing that. It's absolutely gorgeous. And Frank, I've got yours. And then I think the only one left I have is mine.
Cool.
And then,
I don't for you or add in what you're asking. I'm just so swamped in.
I was just saying, I put your poem on the board. I do have your SoundCloud, and I was about to say it.
I just wanted to tell you that this was a poem that I thought perhaps this would be something that you would like for tonight.
Okay. I saw that comment too, and it did have me intrigued, but I swear I didn't touch it because even though you said that and I wanted to like click buttons and then I was like, no, I'll just wait until the show. So I am very intrigued and I was even waiting for you to call because I thought you might and I was like, wanting to see what it is.
Yeah, it's just okay.
Well, let's not make me wait any longer. I'm kidding. never mind.
Best I can.
We got one more in the party as soon as I turn my head. Everybody say hi to AP.
Hi,
hey,
Crystal. Just got there. How are you?
We are doing well. Been very quiet. A very quiet Christmas party. It's just you, me, Frank, and Deb.
Well, there you go. Well, it's just the important people, Crystal. That's all.
Are we saying that Hatter's not important and a lot of other people?
Well, I
don't know. Hatter's not listening on the board.
You take your own message out of that. You take your own message out of that, you know. So, anyway, so you can't.
Yeah.
All right. Well, AP, I now have, I just put down Frank's poem about to play the SoundCloud, but then right after that, I can get you to read a poem.
Here
we go. Let me hit the button.
Once upon a time, in the faraway kingdom of dreams, existed a hidden, immortal soul, unknown to the world, with a poinsettia heart and make-believe spirit that had dwelt in the nocturnal shade of a charcoal gloom in a castle. An eccentric stranger of pearly pale complexion, onyx eyes in the lips of the shadowy silence, within the cold scent of unwelcome despair, under the tristful tears of an ashen nimbus. A solitary wretch of piercing scissor hands, enveloped in a gothic mystery of a melancholy, from a dark world of reverence and ravens who croak and sing his elegiac threnody. From this black mist of sorrow and isolation, a radiant glow of the Chartreuse light penetrates the sphere of caliginosity, bringing a tincture of the animated spirits alive of the vivid Christmas. Taking shape in the cool formation of wintry icicles, becoming the angelic dance of ballerinas, of pink swans, before the symphony of the sweet stir of nature's sounds, upon the colorful illustration of an orchestrated dance. Crystal snowflakes drop upon the ground so slowly as a figure of ice melts into the dripping dew below, a splash of celestial water brilliantly sculptured then into the pure beauty of a beautiful woman reborn. Two lovers embraced in a winter's ice dance, never to see each other's face anew. Thus ends this unique tale of love. End of poem.
I don't even know where to take this. I'm okay. Let me collect my thoughts. I did not expect that ending. Pretty much of never to see each other's face anew. I was reading along as a story. I mean, you started out as Once Upon a Time, so initially I'm going to think.
Hello? Hello?
I can't hear Crystal, though. I can hear you, Frank.
Yeah, I thought I dropped it after a second.
No, it looks like it was her.
I bet you
she'll dial right back. So in the meantime, AC, why don't you, or no, you're reading next. How about if I comment for Frank, and then we'll see if she gets back then.
Okay, we'll do that.
So anyway, I sometimes when you bring your soft voice, it's like, whoa. I like that this starts off with, once upon a time, in a faraway kingdom of dreams, existed a hidden immortal soul unknown to the world. So like you set us up right there at the very beginning for your own fairy tale, a solitary wretch of a piercing scissor hands enveloped in a gothic mystery of a melancholy. Just the little details. Two lovers embraced in a winter's ice dance, never to see each other's face anew. There's such a sadness in there. There was great descriptions, there was feelings, there was a sadness to the never seeing each other's face. So it was very powerfully done, and it was a great story. And I used the word enchanted in my comment last time. And in the meantime, our beautiful hostess is back.
I just want to say this is from the actual, the Edward Scissorhands. This is the last scene there from that film of
Guy.
Well, thank
that,
you.
There it was. He went up and stayed in his world, and she did her thing and thought of him every snow, whether it was really snow. Well, it couldn't have been snow. It was his scissors. But, it was just a great ride.
Oh, I appreciate that. Thank you very much for that.
And Crystal, are you there?
Okay, I'm here. I was trying to figure out what in the world even happened, because I was talking, and then the next thing I know, I just heard a vibration of my phone, and then I looked down, and nothing. And I don't know. Mm. I didn't hang up. I don't know what happened, but thank you, Deb, for taking over with that. But back to where I was saying, is that I didn't really know where to take this, because I feel like it, but after hearing a little tiny bit of Deb's comment about Edward Scissorhands, I can see it now. But I do like how you read it and things like that, and the never to see, because I feel like there's just a bit of a sadness, but also just like this enchantment to it as well. I'm probably going to be by and say that towards the end about the crystal snow drop on the ground so slowly as a figure of ice melts into all of this just and brilliantly sculpted in a pure beauty of a beautiful woman reborn. I liked all of those and that stanza and stuff. That to me definitely you kinda left me speechless with this one, Frank, and I loved this, the way it came all together and the description, the story, everything. So, great job.
Well, I want to say thank you for tonight.
Nice, Frank.
Call it the night for that.
Thanks,
Frank. Thanks, Frank. So, I'll listen to the recording afterwards of the show. Have a good night.
Well, thank you.
Awesome.
Thank you, Frank.
Take care, Crystal. AT and Deb, take care.
You too.
Okay. All right. AT, did you have a poem to read? I mean, you can pretty much read whatever you want. It don't even have to be Christmas themed.
No. Crystal, I wrote one for you. I used one of your images, and I used your word bank.
Okay.
Now, the only reason it wasn't up on the board is because I hadn't finished it about 10 minutes ago, so it's up there now.
All right. Just whenever you're ready to read.
Okay. So this is a festive century, and it goes a little bit like this. Within the curl of a rushed city street, below a joyous jingle of Christmas cheer, by the velvet of silver snowflakes beat, and the winter merry for those far and near. Here will be a sleigh and reindeer soon, stringing through these abstract streets. Starlight sends away the crescent moon, in the rose, blue and green lines meet. Reflect on this evergreen tinsel tree high, as we imagine hope as an eternal glow. A window with its sentry watching all tie, in snowflakes and joy, to the world below. End poem.
I like that. I especially like the pictures that you picked as well, because I liked it with the tree and the cat and everything. I don't know why I had a feeling I was going to get Stephen or Kay to pick that poem that picture, to be honest, but I'm glad that you did. But I really liked the kind of the enchantment to it and everything, like the starlight fends away the crescent moon and knitted rows of blue and green lines meet. It's really, really pretty and then you have I love that the velvet of silver snowflakes. That sounds like that needs to be in a Christmas song, the velvet of silver snowflakes. I just like how that sounds. It does. It sounds like it needs to be in one, and also that little bit of that hopeful writing that I'm always going to get attached to. As we imagine hope as an eternal glow, a window in the century watching all time, snowflakes and joy to the world below. It is definitely reads to me of a very hopeful kind of Christmas poem that you would probably read around the Christmas tree with family or something like that. And, or I don't know. But, yeah, I really enjoyed it, IP.
Thank you, Crystal.
And, Deb, you want to make a comment for IP?
Well, certainly. I thought that this was a beautiful little picture. I love the velvet of silver snowflakes beat. There's something really beautiful about that, just that line right there. Then you tell us how the sleighs will soon be moving in with the reindeers and how the streets will be all, I like the way you made them abstract streets filled with all the lights and decorations and stuff. The crescent moon, I mean, really, really awesome visuals. And then I think my favorite part, because of whose show you wrote it for, is the reflect on this evergreen tinsel tree high as we imagine hope as an eternal glow. I like that you brought your poem back to hope in the end, in sort of Crystal's trademark word style. So that was very clever, too. A very beautiful brevity.
Thank you, Deb.
Great comment, Deb. Thank you. You're here. You're here. I was trying to get myself off of mute.
I thought I lost you both there.
No, I'm here. Nope, we're good on this one. But yeah, I really enjoyed that AP, and thank you for writing it and everything. I always like that too, when you can kill two birds with one stone. Kind of, I've done that several times where I've written for two shows or written for a contest and a show or something. Like, it's really good to do that.
It was just such a cute image. I thought I had to roll with it. So, and the word bank was, you know, just sort of fitted in very nicely with the festive theme. So it just wrote itself, really.
Yeah, I can tell too. It looked like it just kind of came together perfectly. All right, I think I got everybody except me. But Deb, if you want to go ahead and make like announcements of a sweet show tomorrow, or I know that Stephen and Kay right now over at Politics Life Alive, they have a show going on, I believe, if I remember correctly. Yeah, Christmas-themed party. So saying that, talk about it a little bit before Christmas, so then they're going to have some pictures and different things of just a theme or just kind of Christmas in general. I'm looking at it now. Yeah. That's cute stuff. But yeah, their show is going on right now. And Deb, if you want to talk about sweet shows tomorrow or the upcoming shows we got going on.
Yeah, please. Tomorrow night at 10 Eastern is Sweepy's weekly show. You can come and hang out with her by the fireside and bring some open poetry. Always a fun show, and always a wide variety of topics that bring laughs, cries. It's a great place to share your most recent favorite of your own. Also, just a quick shout-out for the 100,000-point sweepstakes that's going on in the Team of Voices right now. The drawing will be on Eve. You can enter once a day, every day, and there is one 30,000-point prize. There is five 6,000-point prizes, and there are 10 4,000-point prizes. So we're giving away prizes for New Year's Eve. The first act of 2022 will be sending people lots and lots of points. And then I will let AP tell you what's up on Friday.
Well, Friday, of course, would be the one, the only poetic quiz show that appears on radio waves that I'm aware of, which is The Wonders of Tic Mac Poe. And it's get your three poems in a row and you know, make sure that you understand what I write and what I don't write. And then get surprised at what I do.
Always a fun show, and still amazed that all these shows later, we've still had only one tie. And I think I'm trying
only
to twist the arm of that tie person to come and...
Yes. Only one tie.
Yeah, that's amazing. So you might as well mention Saturday too, and then we'll let Crystal read her.
And Saturday, yeah, we've got the Deb and Hatter and I, and we are talking about anything to do with Q. So get out your quattros, your quadrants, your quackers, you know, whatever it is that it is to do with Q. It'll be on the show on Saturday night.
Be there or be square. So, Crystal,
or be circular.
How about you read a beautiful poem for us so we can tell you how great you are before you close the show?
Okay. All right, I got it. I didn't expect to hear that.
You need encouragement.
You know we're fans.
I know. I'd say of all the pictures, which I thought I would pick like a purple one or something like that, or I'd say I like a lot of them, but this one I'd say definitely spoke to me, and I definitely wanted to write to it. So my poem is called Fallen Angel, and here we go. Broken wings bent from a storm of blistering flakes, her ivory skin solid white from the white wind shake. Snowflakes dance on her cranberry gown, blanketing her from the icy ground. Velvet slippers brush the gold branches, etching the chestnut storybook stanzas. Her walnut strands twisted in ice, thirsting for the kindling of a fire. Pages whistle as charcoal winds, words fade for the slaying muses to inspire. Sugar plum fairies jingle on the wings, butterfly hope found in simple things. A fallen angel buried in crystal snow, cuddling the angelica glow. End poem.
Beautiful. And there's that closing stanza filled with hope that I mentioned earlier when AP read his. I really like this crystal. I like in that third stanza, her walnut strands twisted on ice, thirsting for the kindling of a fire. Pages whistle as charcoal words fade for the slang muses to inspire. Charcoal words fade. That's actually quite perfect because it does. It's like it sort of wipes away or blurs, and you don't know what the words were anymore. So the visuals there were like sad, painful. And then we get back to those sugar plum fairies that jingle on the wings. I like the visual of that there. And then that butterfly hope found in simple things. And so true, like a smile. And just to say hello or how are you, just any little thing. Those little things mean so much to so many people. An absolutely beautiful share from my little sis. And let me see what AP thinks.
Yeah, I really like it. It's a beautiful image, and I think how you introduce that image is really, really quite beautiful. And the snowflakes then dancing on a cranberry gown, blanketing her from the icy ground, is just a really nice set of words to express what that image is saying, and. I really liked it. I thought, my head had already gone and completed the final line as afterglow, not a glow. And so I'm very attached to afterglow, but I understand why you said a glow.
Thank you, AP, and thank you, Deb. Yeah, I don't know why when I saw the picture I was thinking of a Christmas type poem, and especially the part about like the moose, can't even speak, about looking for the words as they fade and stuff, because it's often sometimes where I wouldn't necessarily know if I would say a writer's block, but sometimes it just seems like writing just kind of slips away or something like that, or something in life kind of just drifts away, and sometimes you just need those little small things to inspire you, and sometimes you just feel like this fallen angel on the ground whose wings have kind of just been broken, and you're trying to find that little bit of glow in somewhere again. But thank you guys for the comments. Oh, I think Hatter finally joined us.
Really?
Yep.
Hi,
Hatter.
Hey, Hatter. How
are you? Hi. This is
how you going, Hatter?
I'm okay. Laying down.
Excellent.
Relaxing.
Hey, good start.
I thought I'd call in and give my support. Oh, where are you? Oh, where are you going?
I knew he was going to say that.
I knew he was gonna go to that too.
You would have waited 10 more seconds to say hello. You would have missed her.
I know. It's been a long
time
since I talked to Hope. How you been?
Yeah, it's definitely been a bit of a quiet night. I'll just start singing Silent Night in here, but
that's okay. We can do that.
Those are good.
There you go. Do a duet.
That's mostly mine.
Duet.
Yeah, Hatter, did you have any poems you wanted to read or anything?
Why don't you read Left Alone?
You want to read Left Alone? I mean, I'm okay with that.
You like how she slipped that in? Do you want to read Left Alone?
It's worth a shot. Okay, so then go find it. Everything should be working fine. Yeah, it's a... It was a story rather than a poem. But I get it.
Well, I think it definitely is something a lot of people should hear.
There it is. Left Alone. the story of this the gentleman I did not know named Will. And a night we shared a room. I'm going to copy it now. Okay, running down the hall.
How are your eyes, Hatter?
They're better than last night. I was having trouble last night.
Okay. I'm happy to raise it if you're not capable there, Hatter.
Oh, yeah. No, I see it.
Good cut. Cool.
Thank you, Crystal.
No problem.
Okay, it's called Left Alone. I was recovering from surgery and was put in a room that could hold up to six people with only sheets between us. There was no privacy and no secrets between anyone there. This story is about a stranger I did not know but shared this room with. I watched as each of my roommates were discharged and new ones arrived. In the area next to me, a man was brought in unconscious. He had family come in and visit for the first day only, which puzzled me as I had overheard the doctor discussing his condition with the family members, and he was in bad shape. I did ask a nurse about him since his family quit coming to visit. She told me there was nothing the doctors could do for him, and that he was no longer conscious to know if anyone was there or not. In other words, he was there to die and was not 6 feet from me for the longest night of my life and the last one of his. I laid there very uncomfortable, getting my pain shots regularly, but there was always the sound of my neighbor's breathing. It was labored and getting louder as it was apparent he was starting to struggle to breathe. It was very uncomfortable having him so close, knowing he was not to leave this place. He was going to die of lung failure, and sounds were not easy to ignore. Many times I thought I'd call in the nurse and move me or him. It was extremely hard to listen to. The reality was I would have to hear as he took his last breath. This is not an easy situation to be in, to say the least. I lay there thinking, would I want to be left alone to die this way? The thought raced through my hurting head with no one to talk to, and I had no quick answer. I did not know this man, but I kept thinking how I had stayed with my father the day he passed. Couldn't think of any good reason to explain how his family thought it was proper way to say goodbye, not being there for him, so I had decided it was going to be me. I was to be the last one with this man when his spirit and his soul left his body, and I was going to have to deal with it. I thought many times this was not the best decision at that time, but now I do not regret making it. It was very personal to me, and I have not spoken of this or my feelings to anyone until now. I remember someone in his family calling him Will, and that he knew ahead of time this was coming, but did not share it with anyone in his family. It was then I decided it was going to be me that stayed with him on his last day. Any other option felt selfish and almost cowardly, so I had to stay for myself as much as Will. I had seriously thought of calling the nurse and to ask for something to put me to sleep, but I was finding it harder and harder to deal with the sounds. I remember when I thought it was too heavy and I could not take it any longer, but the idea of this man sleeping away alone was unacceptable to me. So I stayed awake for him, my friend Will. The sound of the horrible sense of what was going to happen, I found extremely upsetting, so I started talking to Will. I did not know if he could hear me, and I knew he could not answer, but I was going to be with him, and I talked to him when it happened. I could not tell you what exactly I talked about or what I said for sure. I think I talked about my life, everything good in it, and what I still had planned. I'm sure it was everything that would make someone smile. I even shared things I had never spoken to anyone about. I felt cleansing and eased the troubles that surrounded me. This was the longest night of my life, and I will remember it forever. I had even passed a pain shot for the fear of falling asleep. I was going to be there for Will, my friend. Well, minutes turned to hours, and hours turned to daylight, and then it happened. Will stopped breathing. Tears rushed to my eyes and poured down my cheeks. I stayed there with the man I could not even see and thought he would not die alone, and some force had chosen me to be there with him when it happened. There's no question at that time that I had what I had to do, and I do not regret it. The nurse came in to check on me and saw me crying. She asked if I was up or I didn't buzz her for a pain shot, and I told her the tears were for Will, the man next to me. She then noticed he was no longer breathing. The nurse told me later he was to be moved out of the room, but was overlooked, forgotten somehow. Maybe there was a reason I was to be there. She asked if I needed a shot, but I looked up, tears rolling down my face. So I nodded and told her what time it was Will had taken his last breath. She paused and turned and left the room. Minutes later, she came back and took care of Will and sent his body away. So there I was, alone. The reality of what had happened during the night seemed so surreal that I found it hard to believe it actually happened. Deep sadness overwhelmed me. In trying to find my words, I found myself praying like never before I prayed. The nurse seemed quite worried about me when she came back in to give me a shot and to talk. Could not believe I was left so close to him through the night. Could not believe I had just gone through this. I could not believe how it was me left in the room, forgotten to witness a man's last hours. I spent a few more days in the hospital, and the pain and discomfort I was dealing with seemed so petty. I didn't complain the rest of my stay. I don't think I felt much of anything. I was there for a reason, and it was not about me. I guess I had made a new friend in his last moments, whether he knew it or not. I think I made the correct decision by staying with Will. He needed someone, and something chose me. I had to put this experience in a place I could draw peace from, and I have. My faith helps me with the memory of Will, and looking back, I wish I had done something more. I do not know what that could have been, but it is an extremely lonely feeling sitting there writing this down. I don't think I will be sharing this story with anyone as reading it tells about me, and it is a story about Will. My decision to stay with the man I didn't know until he was to die seems so surreal, it's hard to imagine that it all happened at all. I could not live with myself if I had chosen to leave him. It would have been too easy to take a pain shot, ignore what was so close to me. And I pray that it was the right thing to do. The longest night of my life, and I will never forget it. This occurred in August of 1997. It is now September 2012 when I was released from the hospital. I immediately wrote down the events that had occurred just days before. I filed them in a computer, and although I have never forgotten the incident, I have just found the story as written 15 years ago. I believe it's time to tell a story of being left alone with Will and the longest night ever spent.
Story gets you every time.
I know, that's what I was just saying. Wow. I was taking a moment. I guess I hear that story. I don't know how many times I've heard it now, but it's always beautiful to hear her.
What the heck? I'm a little confused, though. Where'd all the comments go, Hatter? We've all heard this.
That is strange.
Yeah, because
there might be another.
More than one copy of it, you think? There's got to be, because we've all heard this before and how powerful and how much it meant to you and stuck with you and I mean, obviously we've all heard it before because you went looking in the vault because Crystal brought it up. So it's very strange that there's one little comment down there. Just so.
Oh, I see what it is. Okay. Yeah. There's two versions. The version that I picked was another copy. But the other version has 16 likes and 14 comments.
Well,
and it has everybody
like
that we know comments on it. Yeah, okay.
I revised it, so I wanted the original kept there, so that it might be written a little
left
poorly.
Alone the story of Will the first time. Yeah. Okay.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. Even I was confused. I don't think we lost Deb.
Well, thanks for letting me read it. I promised myself I'd read that once a year, right, along with Matthew, and now I've got him by the way. Yeah, wasn't that a pleasant experience?
Made that noise and I was gone.
I don't know what keeps happening. It's like, is there like a haunted Christmas or something? Like the studio just kicking people out? I'm not sure. Or maybe it doesn't like women because it's only kicked out me and you, Deb. Maybe it just doesn't like women. I don't know.
Could be, Crystal. Do, 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 do.
So, what are we hearing?
We're done with phones, pretty much. I just had you read yours, Hatter, because right before I read yours, I read mine, and I didn't have too many, but I could do, like, the acknowledgments and everything else, and I guess end the show. I mean, we do got about 15 minutes until the show closes, but thank you to everybody that wrote a poem, even the people that called. So thank you to Kay and Frank and Stephen and Lockdown LARP. And thank you to Deb and Hatter and AP for sticking with me. And also thank you, Frank, for calling and everything. And like I said, we got Open Poetry tomorrow, and Stephen and Kay got their show going on right now. And to think of it, this is my last show of the year. So to everybody to everyone who's listening, I'll see you next year. Soak in the book. But and also to think as well, my birthday is this weekend, so this is my last show before then too. I forgot about that as well. So, yeah.
Twenty-four. 25.
And don't stop chalking them off now. Wait a handful of years before you do that, Crystal. Celebrate these 20s.
Oh, I'm trying. Yeah. I'm trying to. I know, because before long, those 20s will turn into 30s, 40s, 50s, and so on and so forth, because they go by really quickly. I mean, it didn't seem that long ago. I had an 18th birthday, and then I know that it's just going to keep going. Well.
And my 50th, I partied for a week.
I thought he even wants to say that aloud.
I didn't know you stopped partying.
What's that?
I said, I hadn't realized you stopped partying. Just saying.
Well, that would have been more. That'd have been more drinking, less medicinal. I got a note.
I think Hatter parties every day. It don't have to be his birthday.
Who doesn't?
Good Hatter, it's not your birthday.
I live in. Where do I live? That's right.
Wonderland?
So what do we in California?
Yeah, true.
California. It all goes wild on the side of the road. Fields of it.
Yeah. California dreaming.
So
they call it Wonderland.
Half of the time in Wonderland and half of the time in California dreaming. Or maybe California dreaming in Wonderland.
There you go. Sipping
the
green tea.
All the leaves are brown. All the leaves are brown.
In this clover patch.
You know, none of those clovers came up this year.
They looked golden to me in the photo, but whatever.
You know, some of them are pretty cool, huh?
Yeah.
It was
pretty.
It was a nice clover patch. Nice clover patch.
So anyway, Crystal wants to go home. She wants us to get the heck out of her studio and see her
okay,
next year.
Okay, she can do that.
And I was just thinking one other little thing, though, since we won't again till next year, and we definitely won't see her
on her birthday because she hopefully will be out there partying like a rock star. So,
I don't know about that, but you might hear from me.
Yeah. And I can't believe, here we go. Little sis, this is really.
Where's the rat? Hey, Deb, Ellen.
Happy birthday to you.
What happened? Oh, no, Eddie. Are you kidding me? It's your birthday again? Oh, snap. Here we go. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Okay, so there it is. Now, I got to do my thing. You do your thing. All right? I'll talk to you later on. Get up on out of here. Have some cake or something like that.
I've heard those too. I mean, I don't know. I knew it was coming though. I had it in my head when you said, here we go. And I was like, I literally had it in my head right before you even said it. But it was also still like nice to hear because I haven't heard the, you know, it's your birthday again.
Oh, snap.
So anyway, it was a fun show. I hope you do something amazing for your birthday. And I'm going to hang up. But I love you, and I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for listening and calling. Good night, Hatter. Good night, Deb.
Bye, Hope.
Thanks.